T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, looking forward to a segment we will call A Segment with Mitch Lawrence. And Mitch, of course, formerly with the New York Daily News, he's now with the Sirius XM with the NBA Radio. He writes for the Sporting News, writes for Forbes. And, of course, we want to talk to him about what we have seen so far. The blitzkrieg by the Dubs, by the mouthpiece and the shimmies after 2 games. Mitch, a million thanks for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Steve, how are you tonight? All right?
Yeah, we're doing okay. It's a Monday, and there's no baseball tonight, so we kind of feel somewhat naked. But we are, as you can imagine, and as you know, we're talking Yankees and Mets and a little bit with the NBA and whatever else anyone wants to talk about. Let me ask you this first of all, before we get into the 2 games. It's not like whether or not Cleveland is going to come back and win 4 out of the next 5. It's whether or not they're going to win a game. But before we get to them, is this a stretch for me to think that if the Cavaliers are swept, that they want to make some changes and think maybe more than less of Carmelo Anthony, who might waive the no trade to join his Olympic partner and comrade and friend LeBron James in Cleveland?
You might have a pretty good idea there. I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're going to think of him, but he should think of them, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If I were Carmelo Anthony, Steve, I'd want to get the heck out of New York and away from the Knicks and Phil Jackson and wherever LeBron James is playing, whether it's Cleveland or whether it's Sheboygan, go play with LeBron James, because you know what? You're guaranteed pretty much, if you're in the East with LeBron, you're going to make it to a final. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the one thing we know about the Cavaliers, you know, they do some roster tinkering and remodeling and probably off a final sweep. Yeah, if they lose the next 2, I would think that LeBron would put on his GM hat and try to offer some advice. And maybe he'll ask about Carmelo, and wouldn't that be great? But I don't know if Carmelo, you know, the other part of the equation, you mentioned the no trade, which everybody obviously knows about Carmelo, Steve, having this. I don't know if he's ready to move on. I mean, that's something that only he knows. And he's still in a position of power here with the Knicks. He doesn't have to go anywhere. If he wants to, if he wants to chase a title and if he wants to start winning, he should go with LeBron. But if he wants to just hang out in New York so he can listen to you on the radio, hey, that's not bad either.
Say that again. I have trouble hearing.
Yes. If he wants to hang out in New York and listen to Steve Summer, yeah, he can do that too.
That's it. Well, let me ask you, do you think the Knickerbockers, if he does that, and in part spiting the Zen Master, would the Dolans and the Zen Master buy him out to get rid of him?
That's also been raised. That's a possibility that there could be that. We'd have to see how that unfolds, because you have to remember, too, when it comes to trading Carmelo Anthony, I mean, he only wants to go to, I don't even know, I would assume only one team, the L.A. Clippers. He go to L.A. He's not going to accept the trade anywhere else. I know people talk about he's a great fit here, and he'd help Russell Westbrook. Could you imagine Carmelo Anthony in Oklahoma City, Steve? I couldn't. So,
no.
You know, even a Miami, a destination, I just don't see that happening. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of how we'll see it unfolds with the Knicks. They got so many problems and questions and dysfunction and chaos. I think everybody wants to see, first and foremost, what's going to happen with Carmelo before, you know, and also obviously Porzingis. But yeah, this is a question that should have been answered a while ago.
Let me ask you something with the Knickerbockers. I mean, the rumorizing is with Ricky Rubio, because Minnesota has all these point guards, and Rubio is expendable. He's not part of the Timberwolves' future.
Right.
So is it possible that some deal could be made with them? And then if they stay at number 8 in the draft, would they go for a winger? because they need a point guard, they need a wing.
Yeah.
And can you see that as a possibility?
Well, this is a time of year where the rumors are flying and there's all kinds of talk about who's going to draft who, and there's a lot of misdirection plays and smoke screens. You hear maybe the Lakers aren't going to take Lonzo Ball because of, he's not great at doing X, Y, and Z. And, oh, by the way, he's got this father who can be a pain in the rear end. So there's a lot of information out there. Some of it is true and some of it is false. And we're still a few weeks away from draft night. I don't know if the Knicks are going to make a play. They were obviously interested in Rubio during the season. The thing about the draft, as you know, Steve, is this has got a lot. They say, there's four, five, six point guards who could be pretty good players to great players, depending on, who it is, whether it's Fultz or Ball, coming into the league. A lot of people like De'Aaron Fox, the Kentucky kid. So, the Knicks have to decide if they're going to go for a veteran or if they, want to entrust their team to a rookie. He'd be on the same type of timeline trajectory maybe as a Porzingis. So, That's something only Phil Jackson knows, and I don't know, is Phil even around scouting or anything? Who knows, right?
Yeah, and of course it does seem. I mean, a lot of with the mock drafts, maybe even with yours. Dennis Smith Jr. Would he be the kind of player that would fit into what certainly Hornacek doesn't want to have anyone fit into, and that's a triangle. Well, Dennis Smith Jr.
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, who in this day and age fits in the triangle? If you're under the age of 50, you're 40, I mean, I've heard, I reached out to some scouts today to talk to them about Dennis Smith and some of these other players who are going to be available at the Knicks, and Smith has, like everybody else, pluses and minuses at this point. The kid from France,
right?
He's got that name I can't pronounce, Telenka, whatever it is.
Don't look at me.
To pronounce the name, but he's actually a guy who might be there who people really like and think he's actually going to be better than Dennis Smith. So it's a real crapshoot. I mean, who knows? I was impressed when I went to the lottery a couple of weeks ago. I was impressed. I had a chance to talk to De'Aaron Fox. I don't think he'll be there for the Knicks. He's probably going to go top four or five. He's the Kentucky kid, and man, a lot of people. I mean, he's so mature. You can't believe a guy like that only went to 1 year of college. But these guys have been exposed to the media through AAU ball and everything else, so they're pretty much advanced. So we'll see. I mean, right now there's just a lot of names out there, and who knows who fits. But if I'm a player, I know like De'Aaron Fox, he'll play anywhere. He told me. Mm-hmm. But do you really want to come to New York and play in the triangle? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Also. Maybe not.
Yeah. The word is that for Game 3 with the finals, Shumpert, is he going to start for them? And what is that going to do?
Well, that's going to give them a little more defense on the floor. And maybe, part of the problem for Cleveland, there are a lot of problems, as you know. You've watched the first two games, and they've got so many things they have to address to solve, and it's just an uphill fight for them here. When LeBron plays Durant all the time, that plus what he has to do on the offense, it just wears them out. So the thinking is start Shumpert. I mean, J.R. Smith's been a total zero. He's actually been a negative for Cleveland. Start Shumpert instead. Put him on Durant. Get LeBron an easier defensive cover. Give him more energy, especially, what we saw last night was the first half. LeBron was great. I mean, they trailed by only three. He was, he was all downhill, like they say. They want him going downhill at the basket, and he was in attack mode. And in the second half, he only took, six shots? It looked like he ran out of gas or he was deferring to people. Mm-hmm. Was that because he was playing too much defensive against Durant, So, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. This is something that Ty Lue has to look at. But, in this finals, the way things have unfolded, Steve, I'm sure you've seen this, and everybody, it's pretty obvious. The way Curry and Durant are playing – like two finals MVPs. I mean, Ty Lue can come up with all kinds of adjustments. It may not matter in this case.
Yeah, and a lot of criticism. Listen, not much. He had a triple-double, and certainly with the razzle and the dazzle and the mouthpiece hanging out and the shimmy. Yeah. The bottom line is he's taken some criticism, not only because he gets very sloppy. He had the 8 of the 20 turnovers from last night, but he gets criticized, interestingly enough, and I'm part of this too, for being a little bit of a showman and showing you up and a little bit with the high kick as if he's auditioning for the Rockettes and a little bit with the shimmy and the shaking. Bottom line is he gets criticized for having too much fun and not taking the finals seriously. And because he is not taking the finals that seriously, as we say in the trade, it's killing Cleveland.
Well, you know, I think he is taking it seriously because now he might, you know, act out at points, but you got to remember he's had a couple of rough finals. He's had a few moments a couple of years ago. Last year, games 5, 6, and 7, you know what? He just didn't have any impact. He was a detriment, really, to Golden State, especially game 7 in that fourth quarter when Golden State could not score and he had a rough fourth quarter. I think he missed 5 of his 6 shots. And so he's playing well now. He's playing at a high level. A lot of, you know, it's great to have Kevin Durant as a cohort. He's actually, you know, for my money, been a better player in these first two games than Curry, especially last night, Steve, at the defensive end. I never saw Kevin Durant play as well as he did in terms of stopping, you know, blocking shots and challenging. But, you know, Steph Curry, I'll tell you why he's dead serious. You know, the one thing hanging over this team, and it's just not him, but it's Draymond Green, and it's Klay Thompson, is what happened last year when they're up 3-1 and they had this, you know, epic historic collapse where blowing a 3-1 lead had never been done before in the finals after winning the 73. They've carried that with them. That's why, you know, all their mindset is they want to sweep this, you know, they want to be 16-0, be the first team to do that. And so I think, although Curry, you mentioned some of the stuff he does, he's totally serious about getting back on top of the mountain and winning the title because of what happened last June.
Yeah, the point you are making is right on to me, because here they are the heavy favorites, and they are the ones that have seemed to have, after the two games, the hunger and the edge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've got a lot. I mean, this thing, what happened last June, it has obviously did impact Durant. He's got his own circumstances here where he's got to come through, and that is his controversial decision to leave Oklahoma City. He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, questioning his competitive spirit. Doc Rivers is still after him about that, and other, you know, players and obviously former players, guys who played years ago, just can't relate to a player who wants to team up with somebody else, thinking he should have stayed in Oklahoma City. But, you know, when he made his decision, a lot of us didn't like it. But, you know, that puts added pressure on Durant. He's got to win the title. And, you know, the first two games, he's played at a level where he's not riding anybody's coattails here. He's leading them, and he might be the finals MVP. And to do that against LeBron James in a series for Kevin Durant winning his first title, that would be the first part of the legacy that he wants to build for himself going forward. You know, like one part of their pitch to him was, and I don't think it took a lot of convincing, but part of the Golden State Warriors pitch was, you know, you've won 4 scoring titles and you've been to a finals, but you come here, we're going to help you with your legacy in terms of winning. And that's what all players want to, you know, they want to be able to say when they're retired that they have so many championships and where do they stack up. And so for Durant, he looks like he's closing in on number one, and that's the driving force for him in this series.
Yeah, and yes, and the interesting thing with him is, and you mentioned defense. I mean, the guy could score, but it's running the floor. It's what he has done. And last night he had, what, 5 blocks? I think he's
had 5
blocks.
Yeah,
I mean, and you, as Livingston said after the game, I saw with the interview after the game, Livingston said not only with the blocking, he alters your shot. And whether you're going to take that shot outside or inside, he's altering it.
He's much more than just a big-time scorer. We all know he can score all over the place. He gets to the line for him. But he had 5 blocks last night. I saw a great stat, Steve. You might like this one. He said that last year, and they had played 24 playoff games, Harrison Barnes, who he obviously replaced, had 4 blocks total for the 24 games. So, yeah, I mean, they obviously, Kevin Durant's an upgrade anyway at the offensive end. But what he does, you know, the big concern or the criticism that people, when they looked at Golden State and how they reconfigured their roster with Durant, was, okay, they're not going to have Bogut anymore. They're not going to have other guys who are big time, maybe rim protectors or close down the lane. Who's going to do that for him? And there were people who thought Durant could do that, and he did. You know, in the regular season before he got hurt, he did have a very, very good year defensively, to the point where he was in the MVP running. And, of course, you know, he bowed out of that with the injury. But, you know, now in the playoffs, again, he's showing people, yeah, he is that guy, that last line of defense. And last night, like I said, I've watched Kevin Durant since he was at Texas, and, I mean, he really imposed his will at the defensive end. That was a phenomenal job. I think it probably took all the Cavaliers by surprise, because when you look going into the series, I figured, you know what, Kyrie Irving and LeBron are still going to be able to get to the basket pretty much, and they have a hard time with this defense. It's not just the quickness on the perimeter and the length, but now you got Kevin Durant back there to take care of the shot blocking and challenging shots. That's a big thing to overcome.
And Klay Thompson defensively, I heard.
Oh, he's been spectacular.
Yeah, on Irving, and I saw and I heard from the stat last night. I know you know it, that those people in the first two games that Thompson has been guarding, the people he's been guarding are shooting 37%.
Well, in the opener, you know, last night was for me about him. Last night was me. You know, he made four threes. He had been in an awful shooting slump all the playoffs, but in game one, he took a lot of criticism. He was like 3 for 16, something awful.
Right.
But, Steve, the guys he was guarding were like a combined 1 for 12, and that was LeBron. Kyrie was the only one. Kyrie Irving made an off-balance, very difficult shot. I think he actually got fouled on it, too. But Love was like 0 for 5.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith couldn't score against him. I mean, Klay Thompson, now here's a guy who was an 11th pick in the draft back in, 2011. I mean, he has been such a great – he's one of the best two-way players in the league. And, you know, people are all talking, Steve, about, you know, how are people going to challenge Golden State here in the future? It looks like they're just going to run through the league year after year. You got to remember, guys like Klay Thompson were drafted 11th. He wasn't a top pick. They've got Durant, and he was, you know, right, a free agent, but he was drafted second overall. You know, Steph Curry's a 7th pick overall. Draymond Green's a 30th pick. But if you redid that draft that Klay Thompson is in now, he'd be, you know, one of the top two or three guys taken. So that's how these teams that are trying to figure out how to challenge the Warriors, if you're not getting a top pick, hey, go out and try to project someone who's going to be a top player like a Klay Thompson, and maybe you'll get a player at number 11.
All right, we only have a few seconds left, Mitch, and a terrific spot, and we thank you for that. You know that. How does Cleveland win a game?
Well, you know, it's going to have to be LeBron and Kyrie for my money. I mean, I've talked to people who said they're going to have to get Durant in foul trouble, get him off the floor somehow. It's going to have to be. They're going to have to play so much better than they have. They're going to have to keep the turnovers low. They're going to have, you know, Kyrie and LeBron are going to have to get to the basket. And, you know, and they'll have to defend, too. It's not easy. We know that. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to score with Golden State, but you also have to – one of the keys will be if they keep it close. Let's see what happens in these third quarter – the third quarters in Cleveland, Steve. I mean, the third quarter, the last couple of games, they've been runaways, and Golden State comes out after halftime, and they make great adjustments, and their guys really kick it in, take it to another level. So a lot of things have to go right for Cleveland.
Terrific spot, Mitch. Thanks an awful lot. Take care of yourself.
Steve, you too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.